Hello, Mzansi. You are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzansi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by One IFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I'm your host, Duncan Masiwa, and welcome to this episode powered by Fluent. South Africa's cannabis industry is lighting up the horticultural landscape, offering immense potential for local farmers. Stuart Spooner, director of the Lamp House and distributor of Fluent's Horticultural Lighting, shares expert insights on how advanced LED technology and precision farming techniques are setting South African cannabis cultivators apart, from boosting yields and quality to tackling energy efficiency and sustainability challenges. We uncover the tools and strategies that are propelling this industry to global competitiveness. Stuart, welcome to Farmers Inside Track.
Hi, Duncan. Thanks for having me.
Lovely having you with us. Now, you know, we're talking the cannabis industry, an industry that we've seen have enjoyed some rapid growth in the recent years, especially in horticulture. From your perspective, Stuart, how is the cannabis industry transforming South African horticulture, and what opportunities does it open up for farmers?
Cannabis worldwide over the last 10 years has really sort of moved into a much bigger industry. And then with, I think it was in 2019, the legislation of cannabis changed in South Africa for the positive. Some of that legislation has been a bit slow to go and moving, but I believe we are on the right track and we are getting there. As we sort of speak, I think well over 100 medical cannabis licenses have been awarded currently in South Africa, which is a massive positive and hopefully will be an ever-growing and ever-expanding industry.
Most definitely. In today's competitive market, staying updated on the latest technology and trends is key for farmers across all sectors, the cannabis industry included. From your point of view, why should farmers stay ahead with technology and market trends? And could cannabis offer a strong diversification strategy?
Yes, I think so. I think we've seen agriculture change quite a lot over the last couple of years. A big push towards a more controlled environment agriculture. Different sectors are moving into your climate controlled indoor spaces or greenhouse spaces where you can control all elements and all factors in your cultivation space. I suppose things like water scarcity, that is a major factor. I think food security, which is another thing that's come into play over the last couple of years. And I think bringing this, all forms of agriculture, into a more controlled environment, we can manipulate, call it the seasons. We won't be affected by adverse weather conditions and ever-changing weather conditions. And we can also manipulate crop cycles. So I think these sort of things can play a critical role into where we are now. And as technology moves, I think this becomes a hell of a lot more easier to put these sort of environments together or set up these sort of greenhouses and indoor spaces. And I think we've seen quite a big propulsion into this. I know vertical farming is something that is expanding quickly, maybe not as quickly as everyone thought originally, but we're also bringing agriculture a lot closer into sort of, let's say, your bigger cities. And I think have being able to get your microgreens, some of your veggies from the warehouse across the road or from the office park down the road, I think it makes things a hell of a lot more interesting. And when we're alleviating the transport costs, waste and losses, the traditional sort of agriculture markets have spent. Where the cannabis market is currently, especially in South Africa, with the focus being mainly on the medical export, controlled environment agriculture has a massive role here. What we've seen dealing through our customer base and chatting to some of the industry leaders here, consistency is one of the key factors, and quality and consistency throughout the year is a massive factor. And unfortunately, in an outdoor production, we're only able to produce one or two crops traditionally. Moving into a more indoor and controlled environment, we can produce anywhere from 4 to 6 crop cycles in a year. But really harnessing this controlled environment and being able to manipulate all these elements, you can make sure that those 4 to 6 cycles are consistent throughout the year. And I think that's a massive focus point in what we try to focus and bring to our customer base.
You sort of bring me to the next part of my question. You also mentioned earlier that for the past few years, cannabis has sort of been this gray market, but it's exciting to see also the innovations that are coming out out of this industry that used to be the black sheep of agriculture, as opposed talking about the advantages versus indoor farming and outdoor. What are some of the benefits of indoor versus outdoor?
Straight away, within an indoor space, we're not talking about an indoor space or controlled in space. We got obviously your indoors, which from our perspective would be like a sole source lighting facility. And then we've also got greenhouses. And a lot of the greenhouses, which we're seeing in the cannabis industry and what we're seeing in South Africa, are a little bit more high tech. We can still manipulate, if you want to call it, cycles with blackouts and screens and so forth. So traditionally in the outdoor space, we're looking for 1 to 2 cycles a year. Obviously, this is very seasonal dependent. And also then you're also very reliant on the weather. And as we can see and have seen over the last couple of years, is that the weather seems to be changing from season to season. The Cape have experienced their wettest winter of late up in the low fault or the high fault. They're seeing excessive temperatures at the moment. So with those sort of things, we're always bound by what is going on where we've got no control. As soon as we're bringing it into a more controlled environment, we dictate what goes on in those environments. So we're able to control the temperatures, to control your humidities, control how much light your plant can receive. We can control the time or the amount of light over a period of time. So generally with a cannabis plant through the different cycles, when it comes to the flowering cycle, majority of the guys are running like 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. In some regions, in the summer months, it's really difficult as we go to longer days. With an indoor environment, we dictating the dark and the light period. So from that perspective, we sort of like we manipulating the seasons. Doing that, we can then manipulate the amount of harvest that we get or crop cycles that we can run within a year. That can go up to 4, 5, even 6, depending on sort of the methodology and expertise of the cultivators to what they can push on an annual basis.
Definitely lots to be excited about. Stuart, I'm no expert, but I understand that lighting is crucial for indoor farming. Why is energy-efficient LED lighting, like Fluence's, a critical element for successful indoor cannabis farming?
Lighting plays a massive role, just as your climate control or your temps and humidities, your fertigation. So I would say lighting is one of the 5 most important elements. Obviously, lighting drives photosynthesis and helps with the growth of the plant. Where we are now, and obviously what we've experienced here in South Africa, we have had issues with energy. We do have those difficulties that we've incurred over the past couple of years, with lighting being a massive driving factor to the growth. It's hella important, and this is where I think we play, and I talk, with Fluence and Lamphouse play a massive role in the whole cycle. Lighting drives photosynthesis and the growth of the plot, but also determining what lighting you require, what technology that you're planning on using, also determines, especially within the cannabis space where we're dealing with a lot of like newer builds and more modern build-outs. As it's a new industry, it's not sort of like an old traditional greenhouse or old traditional space which we're trying to illuminate. Energy-efficient lighting like LED runs at a lower sort of wattage, so generally your usage is lower, but also generates a lower heat. So your traditional technologies used in the horticulture space are metal halide and HPS, which is very similar to your street lighting that any sort of general person would understand. Those lights generate a hell of a lot of heat. Now we're bringing that into an indoor or closed off environment. Those now generate a hell of a lot of radiant heat. With radiant heat, we now, the plant needs to sort of be in an ideal temperature or climate that it will propel in. And unfortunately, with the radiant heat, it becomes pretty tricky getting rid of that heat. So what we do is we end up producing microclimates, we call it the canopy space. With LED, LED doesn't create the radiant heat that they traditionally used to. So now with HVAC systems, wet walls, any sort of things used for climate controls, like your air cons, HVAC systems, wet walls, they are them doing the job that they sort of put in place to do is control the climate and not have to fight against other sort of elements like lighting and so forth that are put in place. They're already dealing with a lot of things like transpiration rates, the external heat, for instance, in a greenhouse that is coming through those sort of structures and so forth. So they are there to fulfill their sort of role. And obviously with past issues we've had with our energy crisis in South Africa, it really just makes more logical sense just from an energy perspective and usage perspective. So in general, what we see from the traditional horticulture fixtures being used, we're using between 50 to 40% less light, which is quite a significant reduction when lighting can be a 30 to 40% of the usage on a facility. When you go into an indoor space, can even be a bit more from your overall annual usage. So determining the correct lighting technology to put into your facility is a huge consideration. And a lot of thought needs to go into the decision for your lighting. And it's not just a standard blueprint work. All different sort of setups, cultivation methods, all could determine a different sort of layout of lighting that is required. So it's not just, I would say, an easy sort of space. I've got X amount of square meters. I need X amount of light. It might sound that simple, but you really want to maximize what you're doing from a usage of the light. So how we're applying the lights to the plants, or the amount of energy that the plant's receiving, all the way down to an energy usage. It's a really important thing is to go, call it down that rabbit hole and find out exactly all the different specifications of the amount of light that your plant is receiving and the energy that it's going to take to receive that light. And I think those sort of factors are hella important to look at down the line from an operating perspective as well.
Definitely quite important to know. So then my next question would be, how do these lights provide the ideal light spectrums? Because I would think that different crops require specific light spectrums to thrive. How do these lights provide the ideal spectrums and ultimately, I suppose, ensuring better yields and consistent crop quality?
Over the years, and this is where I think Fluence have really spent, I know we've spoken about it briefly earlier, is it being a gray and black market. So a lot of things in the past have been, don't get me wrong, it's not a bad thing on what guys have done from a trial and error perspective and chatting to fellow cultivators and fellow people within the industry, farmers in the industry. What Fluence have done is they've really delved deep into the science behind the quality and quantity of light. I mean, they are driven by science. They have over 600,000 square meters of cannabis under light across the whole globe. That makes a huge difference in the quality and consistency of end product. So it's not just a matter of having a look at a spectrum that's worked. Light is light, if I put it in that perspective. You can cultivate or grow a crop under any form of light. But really, if you're trying to maximize, especially in the cannabis space, consistencies in your quality from your, not only your appearance of your ad or your flower, you want to say, but also the chemical composition, terpene and cannabinoid profiles. And a lot of these things are impacted by the quality of the light. And that is spectrum derived. Fluence, they've done multiple research with both cultivation, cannabis farms or cultivation spaces around the world with leading horticulture universities in the quality of light. So they've looked at multiple different spectrums. So we're looking at the wide spectrums to your very narrow spectrums, which people often refer to and which you might have seen it, is the purpley pinker light, which is very efficient in terms of its energy production, in terms of the amount of light that a plant will receive. It's very efficient. But in terms of the results that they are seeing for a production site, especially within cannabis, they can be a bit varied. One of the things with cannabis is there are multiple cultivars. There are hundreds of thousands of different cultivars out there. So some cultivars like a lot of light. Some cultivars don't. Some cultivars might like these fancy spectrums and all these different things. So from a commercial perspective, what we've seen on our more broader spectrum, so our R3s and R4s, that those are sort of generally better used as a lot of guys are changing cultivars that they are running within a facility or within a space. So to have a different spectrum for every cultivar, it can become a tricky thing to do. Yes, there are a lot of different products with technology where you can change spectrums, you can play around, but from a commercial aspect, these aren't always best suited for this. Another thing is quantity of light. And I think traditionally, cannabis likes light. As we see, when it grows outdoors, it really, really excels. They've driven in lab conditions cannabis up to 20,000 micromoles, 30,000 micromoles, which traditionally I would say 2,500 micromoles. So it really likes light. With LED, as we talked about previously with heat, we can also start driving, being able to get higher light levels for these plants. So we can start running plants at the 1,200, 1,300, 1,400, 1,500 micromoles, which in horticulture, it's a general rule of thumb. And what they've always said is 1% extra light equals 1% extra yield. So yes, there are other sort of elements that will need to be adjusted and changed when you start pushing the likes to higher light levels. But these are more exciting things with the new technologies, being able to control environments, we're able to do a lot easier to make these steps a lot more functional, if I put it that way, to supplement with CO, to run it at higher temps, to play around with environments, which we couldn't really do in a less controlled environment where technology and where lighting and what Fluence is doing is really, I would say, being able to push the envelope a bit more.
Stuart, for farmers managing indoor crops, energy costs can be a major factor in profitability. In what ways does Fluence's lighting technology reduce energy costs and enhance growth conditions?
This controlled environment agriculture is a hell of a energy intensive form of agriculture. We mentioned earlier about making the right decision, lighter technology that you are looking at for these sort of facilities and setups. Managing energy is massive. When you look at an HVAC system, if you're not using the most energy efficient light sources, your HVAC systems are going to have to be bigger to manage and control that environment. So straight away, your spend on setups going to be bigger and operating costs on that are going to be a lot more on a month-to-month basis. From a lighting perspective, in my opinion, LED is the only thing that makes sense in this form of agriculture where we are at currently. Yes, legacy tech is a great technology and was super successful over this time, but I think where the industry is and with an ever-changing industry with price points and the competitive edge that everyone's looking for, managing your operating costs is going to be paramount to being successful at the end of the day. Being able to spec in and really go into details of your lighting, making sure that your desired end result from a production perspective are done in the most effective and efficient ways, and having a very good understanding of how you utilize your light. So what form of light you're using, be it LED, HPS, is hella important. And then also the layout on the setup of how you're utilizing this light and how you're getting it to your plants is massively important. So really diving deep into designs and lighting layouts to make sure that every photon or every bit of energy that that light source is producing is falling on your crop and nowhere else. I think those sort of things are massively vital to making sure that bottom line makes sense and can make an operation successful.
Stuart, what do you believe are the best practices that are essential for setting up and growing a cannabis operation professionally?
Having a good understanding of every single element that is required from the setup. So I think, obviously, understanding your aim goals or desired goals and targets is paramount. And then diving deep into every little bit of setting this facility up. Are you going to go greenhouse or the indoor space, to the amount of power that you're going to require, where you want to be at your end goal, to also dealing with the experts. So the experts in every single little sector, chatting to more than one of them and getting their sort of expertise and trying to leverage off that expertise and figure out what has gone wrong for others in the past. We in quite a fortunate position in South Africa where some of the more established markets have gone through those growing pains. Or let's try to learn from those mistakes early and not pay too many school fees in our processes now. And let's deal with the professionals in each space. Let's leverage off their experiences, their expertise to make sure that we're not having to redo or adjust strategies 2-3 years down the line when we're not hitting the desired targets that we're looking to achieve.
Those definitely, I suppose, part of making sure that you're not overpaying in school fees or paying unnecessary school fees is selecting the right partners, Stewart, can make all the difference. How does partnering with experts like the Lamb House drive sustainable growth and long-term success in this emerging market?
Selecting the partner is key. Fluence have 600,000 square meters of cannabis under light across the whole globe. It's a huge leverage point for our customers to be able to work off that and to understand what has been done in these countries, what is working, what's not working. And where we are also so lucky is we've got horticulture experts from Fluence, which are on hand to our customers to help them with these sort of transitions, with changes adapting from one technology to a new build, that they can be on hand to guide our customers. From the Lamb House perspective, come of 46 years in the specialty lighting industry, we've got a very unique set of skills from a lighting perspective and can really dive deeply into lighting layouts, lighting designs, with little tricks of the trade that we can apply to our customers to make sure that we are giving them the tools that they can make sure that they're hitting their desired results or bettering what they want to be. Fluence have their finger on the pulse when it comes to what's happening, from where technology is going, what new technology is coming in, where we can push boundaries and push the limits a bit. Being able to leverage off that is a huge, huge benefit to our customers in the long run.
Thanks for listening. That was, of course, Stewart Spooner, the director at The Lamb House, a distributor of Fluence horticultural lighting products in South Africa. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss any of the episodes. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Foodformzanzi, thanks for listening.